What I'd like to do is just share a few things with you about the new church start, and just personally some things that have happened in our lives while we've been up there in Northern Virginia. A number of you know that when we came here to Oklahoma to be a part of the OU staff almost five years ago, it's hard to believe, but almost 5 years ago, we knew we were going to come to eventually leave. And I really thought I would either do one of two things. I would either be a part of starting brand new student work, or at least helping develop one that hadn't been established too much, or be a part of a new church plant. And we did become a part of the latter. And eventually I'd like to be a part of developing student life through the new church. But anyway, to be honest, I was more inclined to go to California. A couple years ago, I was pretty much set going that direction. And God, in many ways, used different circumstances and people to direct us to Virginia. There's a lot of opportunities out in California, but I'm just very thankful the way God directed us. In fact, He strongly had His hand directing us out there, and I'm very glad, because of all the things that followed, it would have been easy to doubt His leading. And so I'll just share a few of those things. June 15th of last year, we decided to head on out. We had a number of students and some friends help us pack, and my cousin, who had done packing professionally, helped, and I thought, man, this is going to be great. We rented the biggest truck you could get, so I take that truck and a car I rented for some of the students that were going with us to Virginia to come back on. Everything was set, and we were going to pack and finish up that night and then leave the next morning. And we packed the truck really neat. I mean, my cousin did a great job, and everyone followed his directions, and the truck was packed to the brim, and everything got in there really nice. The only problem was the lawn had a lot of furniture still left on it, and lots of things, and we didn't know what to do. And finally got another truck, another big 15-foot truck, and ended up taking two trucks up there with about five people, and it was quite a haul. We drove through the night most of the time, and everybody got sick, so it was a real exciting adventure. But we did make it, and it was an interesting time. I'll just kind of skip to a few things. That one of the things we really wanted to do, it was going to be about 2 months before I joined another friend of mine that was going to move out there to help plant the church, to join him in starting a new business, and I'll explain that a little bit. So, and then the pastor, the guy that friend of mine for about 8 years now, who was going to start, who's going to actually be the pastor of the church, he was going to move in around 2 months. So we really didn't know anybody up there. Susan, it was like a new place for her, even though she grew up in that county, in the northern part of that county in Great Falls. It was really a different place for her. And so we were like in a new land, didn't know many people, and so we were really wanting to establish some relationships right away and get to know some people. And that's one of the things we really tried to do. It was interesting, though, our neighborhood, we over the weeks, we got to know people. Brittany got to play with some of the girls and boys out there and really tried to develop some relationships. And it was interesting. I remember one of the couples that we really got to know the best in about 2 weeks' time. We invited them over. We thought we had pretty good rapport. We invited them over for our house just for a simple little cookout in the backyard. And we had our first indication of how busy your people are when they said, well, we probably are going to be pretty busy for the rest of the summer and won't be able to do that. And at the end of the summer, I asked them again, and they said, well, I think the fall is going to be the same way. And so we've never had them over at our house. And it was really discouraging. It happened that way a lot with the people in our neighborhood. But during that time, we also were doing the basic things of trying to get our house that we're renting kind of set up and established. And it was a little bit bigger than the one we had in Norman here. And so we thought we needed a little bit of used furniture. So we went on garage sales like we normally did up here. And it was interesting. We met, as we were going along, we went to this one place and we got this chair and some bedding for Aaron's bed. And this couple that was selling it were really friendly. We got to know them a little bit. And man, I thought that was a pretty neat couple. The chair, I didn't have anything to haul it in, so we just said, we'll come back and get the chair later. To be honest, I didn't know how we were going to get the chair and get it back home, but we said, we'll come back later. And then we went to another place and bought another couple pieces of used furniture, and we told them, do you mind if we come back later this afternoon and pick it up? And then we got home and said, what are we going to do? I mean, we didn't have anything to pick it up in. And so we was trying to figure out what we're going to do. And then we just thought, you know, the family we bought the chair from, they had a truck. So we'll ask them maybe if they could bring the chair. And so I called him up and I said, do you mind bringing the chair over? He said, no, no problem. I said, do you mind if we go somewhere else and pick up some more furniture? And he said, sure, that's great. So we did. And he was really friendly. We had a good little talk, kind of introduced each other. And I thought, you know, when I got back home and he left, I said, boy, we need to get to know them. They're a neat couple. And same thing happened about the next week. I went, took Brittany to the park to give Susan some stress release. And we went to the park and basically just to go have some fun together. And as we were walking through the park, we went to the little jungle gym place. And this couple was having a picnic on the yard, on the lawn out there. And we went by and said hello. And their little boy followed Brittany. Brandon did. And they went and played on the jungle gym together. And then the mom came over a little bit. And we started talking a little bit. And I was faced towards her. And she was faced towards the kids. And she kind of stopped me. She says, your little girl is going to the bathroom, I think. And she was up there on the little thing, and through the grate you could see what she was doing. And we were potty training her, and so this was really fun. She says, I have a diaper back at our picnic place, and so she took her back, and we went back there, and I was kind of embarrassed. She said, well, Brittany's laying down. She looked and saw this nice food. She says, can I have something to eat? And they fed her, and she had a great time. And she didn't want to leave when we had to, finally. But I got their names. I forgot to get their phone or anything, but I got their names. And after calling a bunch of last names that started with Kelly, I finally got a hold of them. And eventually invited them over to our house, and they actually accepted. And, boy, we were shocked. And then this other couple later, after a period of time, we had them over, and it was really exciting. We were motivated. We were getting to know some people. And to be honest, we really wanted to be friends with these folks, regardless of whether they became Christian or not. It was just good to know some people. And, one of the couples, the guy's more philosophical bent, agnostic type, really has a hard time that God is really our ultimate authority and that he's the only way. His wife has a Mormon background. And heavily bent towards Mormonism, is a Sunday school teacher in Mormon church now, but she doesn't know anything about its theology, only the lifestyle, and that's attractive to her. And the other couple are Catholic background. One's pretty strong Catholic, went to Notre Dame, and he may or may not be a Christian. It's hard to tell right now, but his wife definitely isn't. And they basically met in a bar, and most of the people we've met are their friends are either living together or are pretty wild folks, and it's kind of, you know, we weren't used to those people. In Norman, we kind of covered ourselves around Christians quite a bit, and so it was a new thing for us, and it was kind of exciting, though, to get to know different people from different walks of life, and so we've been doing things quite frequently with them and some of their friends, and it truly is exciting. But one thing we've learned is, and as I'll share later, is that it's to be patient with people as we get to know them and to love them and just invest our lives into them. People are very skeptical about just people getting to know you. And so it's been real exciting. And then the second thing, as we were trying to meet people, the second thing, of course, I was trying to get this business started. And what this business is basically, it's called Colonial Building Services Northern Virginia. But what it is now it's janitorial services for buildings and also landscape maintenance services for different commercial properties. And I never realized how hard it would be going to business. One thing is I thought my partner was going to join me, and it didn't really work out that way. His wife, who was expecting to have a baby in a day or two at that time, lost their child close to birth, and it was a very, very tragic thing. And so they really decided to go ahead and stay where they were in Richmond for the next 7 months. And so totally understood that. But the thing is I did have to go ahead and start the business by myself. I wanted to eat some food while we're out there, and I'm a business background. I learned a lot of this stuff about small businesses, but it didn't help me much. It was pretty hard. A learning experience. I had some help, and God really provided some leads, and we eventually got some jobs. It's still a stress trying to get new work that we need, but it was an interesting experience. One of the reasons, you know, you wonder why why do landscaping and commercial cleaning? One of the things, objectives, was to really try to get into something that we could have flexible hours, and eventually over a period of time, as we possibly come on staff of the church, is to phase out some of our work and be able to eventually phase more into the ministry as far as more vocational, even though we're going to have a ministry all along anyway as laymen. And commercial cleaning seemed to be a pretty good opportunity. And then Steve and our pastor, Rusty, had run a commercial cleaning company back in Fort Worth. So they knew about that end of the thing. So that's basically what we decided to do. It'd give us some flexibility. And so that's what we did. And so I went through all the different phases. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I sent out 7 checks for different taxes and unemployment compensation and different things like that. I mean, they really want your money out there if you make any. And so it's been quite an experience. A lot of paperwork, a lot of things. Just the work itself is just the tip of the iceberg. And when you're starting a corporation, there's a lot of things that are involved, and so I'm learning as we go. And I mention this simply because here what we had done is we had moved to a new area. It's like a new culture. To us, almost like a new country in some ways. It was a new change of life. We weren't doing the things I had been doing for almost 8 years. Really about 11 if you count high school ministry. And it was a situation where we didn't have any friends, really. We had to develop them ourselves until Rusty came and Becky. And they went through a lot of rough times themselves. Starting the business, having a lot of pressure, you know, thinking that I was going to have a partner to help bear the burden of this. And so basically I had lots of hours spending trying to get this thing going. One of the things that some of you know me is I kind of like to organize things. And it was impossible to organize what was going on out there. It was just really, really impossible. I mean, I was living in totally disarray in a lot of ways, as much as I tried. And it was hard to live that way for me personally. And that was really tough. It was tough to be in a mixed up schedule and a financial stress and a new place to live. Basically, it was a real test for us. There weren't any, over a period of time, we really missed the college ministry, the college students. And, being a layman again was, I was with Shell Oil for a while, but it was pretty easy job. And it wasn't that hard, but this was. And it was a new thing for me. And at least one positive thing of it, I thought, is at least I can relate to some of these laymen out here, but it's not the kind of relating I really wanted. And but it really was hard. And to be honest, in September and October was probably the peak of roughness. Like I said, it was good that the Lord led us out there strongly, because it would have been easy to doubt God at that time. In fact, some of you read my letter and kind of were wondering about me, how we were doing out there. And you encouraged me through your notes, and it was really helpful because it meant a lot. My spiritual life and Susan's spiritual life, I think she'd agree, it was really tough. It was really being bombarded in a lot of ways. Our relationship was stressful. There was a lot of strain on that. And the other people that had moved out there, another family from Rusty, he had already moved out there, and then another family had moved out from Fort Worth. And they were there, and they were all going through a lot of the same kind of stress, and it was tough. It was hard for us to really be an encouragement to each other. And another thing, it was really humbling. To be honest, almost everything that I've done in life, I've been a pretty independent person, grew up that way, and I've pretty much been a leader in most everything I did. Even if I was under someone, I usually had some kind of job description where I could lead. And even here at the BSU, I came under a team, and really to help Max be successful and his ministry be successful. But because of the size of the ministry, it was really easy. I had the freshman team. I was able to do quite a bit with it on my own. I could develop my own personality through that ministry as far as the style of ministry. And so I was kind of like the FMT guy, I was in leadership again. I had my thing to do. And not to say that negatively, because that was fine, and as long as I didn't let it get to my head. But that's what I was used to. I was used to that kind of thing where I was kind of in control. And to be honest, even Scott had mentioned a year and a half before that it was easy for me, just my personality and my some of my characteristics, it was easy for me to to live the Christian life on my own strength and not even have to worry about God. And he wasn't saying that to be really negative. It was just kind of a fact. And, you know, it's something I've really thought about since. And I really started praying within that week that God would really help me rely more on his strength instead of my own to handle situations in life, whether good or bad or in between. And God really started honoring those, and he really honored them when he sent us out to Virginia, because what it did is I was in a situation where I had no leadership other than my business, cleaning toilets. You know, leadership for cleaning toilets isn't the best thing to get out of humility. But it was really good for me. God did some things. Rusty, on purpose, and I think was very wise. He never elevated me in front of anybody else that was part of our core group, and I'm still not elevated in any way. I'm just a core worker. I'm another layman out there helping start this church. A lot of them know that I moved out there to help plant this church, but basically I'm one of them, and very much an equal. And even if I lead, I'm still an equal, but I have no leadership. And that's been very humbling. And I knew it was going to be that way when I went out there, but you know, the reality of it sometimes is a shocker. And so I had, you know, there was a lot of, when you get philosophical in life, when you're in a bathroom, bending over a toilet, cleaning it. And especially some of them. And, you know, I thought about a lot of things when I was doing that, especially in September, October, about why am I doing this? Is it really worth it? Is it Northern Virginia that I was supposed to be at? And a lot of things. But to be honest, every time I asked the question quickly, God reminded me that he really did want me there, and I knew he did. And he sustained both myself and Susan. And even though it was hard, it was a humbling experience for us. I can't speak for Susan whether it's humbling for her, but it definitely was for me. Another thing was spiritual warfare. Yeah, I've been under some of it. I've seen other people under it, but I'd never faced it even close to like this. And everybody on our core team faced it. It was amazing. It's amazing what happened. All the things that happened to discourage us. The timing of things that happened to discourage us, to beat us down. It was absolutely unbelievable. And it was so obvious. The Satan was really at work trying to discourage us. And it really is obvious that when people are trying to do something for God's kingdom, Satan's going to do his best to discourage people, to beat people down, and not be effective. And we really felt it. We still feel it much of the time. And so it's really rare, or real. It kind of reminds me, I think it was Airplane or some movie, where, weren't they, I think what happened was there was this lady screaming and going crazy, and there's all these people behind her with a ball and chain and knives and hammers and bats and beating on her or something, trying to get her to quiet down. They were all in a line. There was an endless line. Is that the right thing? Airplane? Or something? And maybe I should be ashamed to admit I watched it. I don't know. But it was, that's how I felt. I was that lady screaming and everyone was beating on me. And Susan felt the same way. And at times it still feels the same way. But it's, you know, the reason I'm sharing this, and I'm getting to it eventually, is what God's really been teaching us. It's really been a purging time. I just want to say this, what's going on now is Steve eventually did come with his wife and his little daughter Casey, and he's joined me in the business, and it's pretty exciting. We have one share of stock. He's the vice president. I'm the president, and he's in charge of landscape, and I'm in charge of building. We work together, and it sounds really great, but we just clean toilets and mow grass, you know. And so anyway, he came. It really, it was great. To be honest, it really is great. It adds more stress. There's two families to be fed. We can't pay each other enough to live on right now, and so we're having to really depend on God for his provisions. I am blessed a little bit more in a sense of monetarily funded, since some of you are supporting us out there and some other folks that know us. And so we're really trying to build our business up. And to be honest, the day I get back on Monday, that's what we're going to try to do. We're also moving towards starting the new church officially on Easter Sunday. And we're going to have kind of, the week before, we're going to have a junior varsity worship, and where we invite everybody we know to come. But we're going to be really pushing for Easter. We have a big mail out going out, and John Wooster, who works with Rod Washington, man, if you met him at the Glen, Rod and him worked together, and John came out, and it was amazing God's timing. As we were developing towards moving towards Easter to get the church started, John came out, and it just, he did some things, he shared some things with us, and it bonded our core group tremendously. It was absolutely perfect timing, and there's such enthusiasm, but there's a lot of work to be done. And so as soon as we get back, there's a lot of responsibility to be had. And so we've got a lot of things to do and to move towards that direction. But it's exciting. Most of the unchurched people that we know that we really haven't pushed to do anything with this as far as our little groups, other than we've played volleyball and done women's meetings and gone out to eat with people, all kinds of stuff. But they're all wanting to come and just because they're friends of ours, to come and, to the service and be a part of it and see what kind of weird church we're going to be out there. And they helped get the name, to be honest. They're the ones that chose among a list of about 20-some names. It was the unchurched people that chose our name. By far, it was the number one choice, was New Hope. And so it was pretty interesting how that came about. So we're moving towards that direction. It's a very exciting time, but there's still a lot of stress, to be honest, a lot of pressure. But we're looking forward to see what God's going to do. And we're really... look forward to his direction. And let me just share a few things to you what I've been learning through this. And I really, this is probably the meat of some of the things I wanted to share. You know, when you make some choices sometimes, they're not always comfortable. And it's not always the uncomfortable choice that's the most righteous. But sometimes those choices that God wants us to make are hard. And we knew it was going to be going out to Northern Virginia. And one of the things that, and I'm going to speak for myself. I could speak for Susan. She could say a lot of things too. It's just amazing. God has done so many things through her. She doesn't even realize probably in my life. She has really a lot of wisdom. And she really knows some appropriate things. And she sees my attitude sometimes really getting bad. And she really has been more of an encourager instead of just getting on to me for my attitude. And she really thinks through how to reach people and how to serve people, because she is really a servant. And it's really been a blessing. But one of the things that I'm learning and continue to learn, that in the crunch of life, some of you are facing it now, a crunch time, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, a few months, a few years. But in the crunch time, what really comes out is what is in your inner life, what's really inside you, what's really there in your heart, not what you do externally, not what you've learned and just kind of go through the motions to please other people, or even in a sense to please God or earn his brownie points. What really stays with you is what's in your inner life, what's really in your heart. And I tell you what, everything gets purged out when you go through those crunch times, and that's definitely what's happened to me. And I'm just so glad that some of the things that I've learned through my church in Fort Worth and through here in this ministry, being around such great students and staff and other people that come around this place, and things I've read, is really the importance of some of the ways, I hate to say spiritual discipline because sometimes people take those negative, but those were real in my life, I found out. I was wondering. But they're really important out there. They're important any time, but I found that they still were part of me. And they were so important. Things have changed the way I do some things. But it was so neat to see the desire I still had, even in the crunch times, even when it was hard, and it was easy to doubt God. But it was what was in the inner life that stayed. Secondly, was patience. You know, all of us go through that. All of us understand the importance of patience, I think, at least know that it's important to be patient. Many of you have probably heard people say, be careful about praying for patience, because then you'll really be tested in that area. But, so, you know, I'm not sharing anything new. All of you know what it's like to go through learning patience, but it really has been a learning experience in that area, and especially in the area of God supplying our needs in our work, in our lives, in our relationships. And also patience with people. I probably wasn't too patient with people here. In fact, I wasn't in a lot of ways, especially with Christians. But even sometimes with non-Christians that I got to know, I wasn't real patient. I wanted things to go a little faster. People be a little bit more committed. I put pressure on people and I turned some people away. Other people thrived on it. But I think God's really worked on me in that area. And I'm not saying some of those things are wrong. Some of my attitude behind them were probably wrong. Were wrong. And I would still do a lot of the same things. But I definitely have learned the importance of being patient with people. And plotting the steps that they do take in life. And without trying to drive them and push them. And I'm still learning that, to be honest. A lot of these things, it's hard to get up here because a lot of these things I'm right in the middle of learning. I will probably be learning them for a long time, if not the rest of my life. But that's one thing God's really working in my life. Third is that, as I mentioned before, I've really had to rely on His strength instead of my own. I just couldn't do it out there on my own strength. It was impossible. One of the few times in my life I remember where I was completely inadequate. And tell you what, it got me on my knees a lot. And sometimes I resisted even. But God's really used that. God's really used that. It's so good to rely on God's strength. And I hope I'm learning that. Four was the humility, as I shared. A real humility. I can't say I'm humble, but I'm learning more what it's like to be humble. To be humbled and to be in a humbling situation. And it's going to continue to be hard. You know, it's interesting. That is one area I knew that I would be tested the most on. And it's still hard when it comes to be a reality. Fifth was, as I mentioned a little bit before, my life really was purged. Beat on, like that lady in airplane or whatever. And commitment was really tested. My commitment was really tested, both Susan and myself. Boy, one thing about how God's used our marriage is we really need each other. And God knows that. And He's really helped us to make it through those rough times. And, you know, even Abraham, when he went through tough times, you know, he didn't waver. But he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God had power to do what He had promised. I really want to be like Abraham in that sense. I really want to be a faithful person to what God has promised. And He promised He would take care of us as we went out there. And He would promise to take care of us, period. Even when we're disobedient, there's so much grace. You can't expect, but He gives. And it's really great to lean on God's promises. And that was a real time. And then, you know, like I said, we're still going through the experience. So, like I said, I'm not speaking here like all this is in the past. Kind of gives me some accountability, as I was talking today with someone that kind of gives me accountability. What's going to happen in the future? You all will probably know what's going on in our lives over the years. And we really are accountable to you, how we live our life. Obviously, you see a lot of people falling by the wayside. Great godly people. But somewhere in their life they make some wrong decisions and eventually are beat down and really go a different way. And I really pray that that doesn't happen to us. And one of the things I want to share is that vision really keeps us going. Vision in life really keeps us going. You know, you've heard that where there is no vision, that people perish. And I don't know where that is in the Bible, but it's true. We would have perished in a lot of ways if we hadn't had the vision of what God calls us to do out there. And I'm speaking as a layman, not necessarily as a vocational minister. I hope I may have not distinguished that, but really, I really am a layman, regardless of my education and my experience. I'm speaking as a layman, which most of you will be in life. And it is tough. And as you have kids and, you know, first of all, get married, and you'll find that the pressures get bigger and bigger. You know, it's interesting, even though I was married and started having kids, and Max talked about how you really do have less time as time goes on, I wasn't so sure. Because I thought, you know, college was a little bit stressful, and then after college was a little bit more time. And it may be for some of you, but believe me, it's going to catch up with you. And what you develop now in your life is really going to make a difference. And I wanted to share just a few things. I do hope that you think about some of the things I shared, not so much to look at me at all, and I'm no great person up here standing to be an example. I'm glad most of you know me enough to know that. But I think we have made some choices that in our desires and in our lives to really try to glorify God in our what we do in our life and what we do with our life. And I look forward to see what God has in the future for us. And we're really excited to see what's going to happen with this new church. And we hope that you keep your interest in what's going on in our lives. One of the things we really do ask is that you pray for us whenever you think about it. You know, God brings us in your mind. We really appreciate your prayers. It is hard. It's harder than really what I'm telling you about right now. It's really, really is hard. I get very discouraged very easily. And times I just want to lay flat on my face and cry. Maybe I should. It's sometimes very, very discouraging. And I'm not here to talk about life being discouraging, because there's no promise that life is going to be fun all the time or comfortable. But there really is a peace of pleasing God through the hard times. There really is a pleasure, even when it's hard. And it's great to have to lean on God. I'm learning that more and more. It's really great. Even though it's not fun sometimes, it's extremely exciting. Let me share a few things. I don't know if I'm going to get through all this. Let me just share a few things. I don't know. How much time do I have left? Okay. Oh, you can't hear me? Yeah. Turn it on. Now you can finally hear me. Is that better? Okay. All right. Let me start all over? Okay. Let's see. Oh, my notes here say OSU and OU and Kansas play tomorrow at different times. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right. Let me share a couple. Why don't you stand up real quick, even though it's only going to be 15 minutes longer. Just stand up, take a breath, and sit down. Okay, I'm going to share just a few things of how, well, just let me label it, the making of a secular man. And when I say man, I mean generic term. Making of a secular man. And I'm going to share a few things. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm going to share a few things with you. And I really do want this to be a challenge for you to think through. Not everything's going to relate to you right now, but I just want you to think through. Some of you, it will really, really hit hard. Some different areas, and so I just want you to know I'm not saying everything's going on in your life that I'm talking about or has happened in your life, but I want you to just think through the principles that I'm sharing. And a lot of these things I'm going to share, I've kind of directed them towards you and put in a few other things and dropped a few, but basically come from John Wooster, who the man I talked about that works with Rod. And the guy has a really good perception on what's going on among baby boomers and younger people in our society today. You all, most of you aren't baby boomers, to be honest, but you're going to be very much like your parents, much more so than I'm like my parents. And so this really does apply to you. One of these things is, these are general terms, not to be made. You know, there are exceptions. But let me just share some general things. How do you make a secular man? How does, when I say you, how does our church, how does our society, how does Satan, I mean, I'm going to use him in this. You know, how can you just get people to become secular? And I'm saying it in a negative way right now. And this is some of the ways. One is to raise him in a family where Christianity is believed but not lived. And boy, it happens a lot in the Bible Belt, in our society, where people are religious, they go to church, they may have even walked down the aisle. They're on a lot of millions of committees, and they are deacons in your church or whatever. But at home, it's not lived. And some of you have gone through that, and you're really questioning whether God's really exist or whether Christianity is really has a meaning to real life. And that's tough, but that's one way to do that, is to influence people to become secular, is to raise people in a home where ideals are taught but not lived out. Secondly, is to make him go to a church that does not address him in a relative way. I really see this more so now that we've talked to so many people out there in Northern Virginia and asked them about things. A lot of these things really do apply. One of the things is to be honest, is the church, many times, not all churches, but many churches are in a time warp. They're about 20 years behind our society. And people know that. And it's hard for them to see how it relates. People are caught up in traditions and laws. You know, some traditions are good, but so many times we get caught up in traditions that really hurt our ministry and become more of the Bible than the Bible is. And people are becoming bored. Younger people are becoming... I mean, a lot of older people, a lot of people brought up in the church really enjoy their churches and some of the ways things are going. But there's a lot of people out there that just aren't being ministered. They don't care. It doesn't seem to be relative to what they're thinking and where they're living. And God still wants us to try to reach those. And a lot of times the church can't be to everything to everybody, but there needs to be churches that are trying to reach the younger generations. And a lot of people think a lot of things of the church. And one of them is they feel like they'll be bored. As far as being irrelevant, even the music. A lot of the music that are in churches today were really popular 100 years ago. In fact, they're old bar tunes in England, a number of them. They were the hip music of the day. That kind of music. And they put words to that music and made it relevant to the people, and it really worked. But it's 100 years later. It doesn't always appeal to people, especially the younger generation. In fact, did you know that in high school and college, the music you listen to that you like will be probably the music you'll want to listen to most of the time the rest of your life? The music you listen to may be the kind of music you really enjoy when you're 50 years old, maybe. And at least in your 30s and 40s. I can't relate to 50 yet, but anyway, I've heard that that's the truth. It stays with you. Now, I was asking Scott about this, and the hippie that Scott was, he really liked that heavy, well, I don't know, to me it was heavy, fast-paced, wild kind of music in the 60s and 70s, and I was more of America, bred, Chicago, you know. And that's the kind of music I really still really enjoy today. You know, in fact, I'm trying to find a CD for America, and if I can find it, I'd love to get it. But anyway, but that's the kind of music, and you get used to that kind of beat or just that kind of style. And so the church doesn't compromise, doesn't need to compromise, but they need to learn how to use music to its relevant. And there's a spiritual longing in people today that the church seems to sometimes demonstrate they just don't understand the people where they're at, even though there is a spiritual longing. And so it is important to try to really be relevant to them to show that, hey, yeah, maybe we do have answers. In fact, I'll mention this. A guy named Jim Dethmer from Willow Creek Community Church up in Chicago really is wise in a lot of things he shares. And one of the things he said is that today, and it doesn't mean just today, but the church, well, let me share this. The church has, you must have both truth and also be able to relate. And the church really has a lot of truth to offer. Really has a lot of truth to offer. But it just doesn't seem to relate to where people are at and where their hurts are, even though they have truth to offer. And the New Age movement, it really knows, it's really relative. really knows where people are hurting. But there's little truth. And we as Christian individuals and as a body of Christ need both to offer the world. To be both relative and truthful in our lives, in our walk, in what we share and talk about. And so that's so important. Three is, you may have not been able to follow me real closely here, but anyway, third is don't prepare him intellectually for the skepticism he will face in college. Some of you already are kind of being, your spiritual walk with God is kind of being blown away. Or if you're doubting your salvation, or maybe you don't even know Christ personally, anything you have is kind of being blown away by the skepticism, the sarcasm, and the morality that people have in our society today. And you weren't really ready for it. Some of you basically had a nice, heartfelt faith, but it was never contested. Now you've come to college and it's starting to be contested. And you're really wavering. You're wondering, what's this all about? That I thought I was really walking with God, and it was really something I desired, and now I'm not so sure. Boy, it's so important to give honest answers to honest questions. And a lot of times we don't get that in the church. In fact, parachurch groups, some examples would be Navigators, Campus Crusade, and even the BSU in a sense, they tend to offer answers to real questions a lot more than the church. And the church needs to do that too. And when I say the church, I want to just explain one thing. You are the church, and as you mature and grow in your years, you'll be leaders of your local church. And so it's you I'm talking to, not some church somewhere. You guys are going to be responsible to be able to relate to people that don't know Christ out there. You're going to have to see where and know what society is all about, where it's at, where its needs, felt needs are. You already know a lot of its needs, but really where their felt needs are, where they're hurting. And also, you need to know some answers, so some real questions, instead of having just a little bit of a heart faith and getting in your little holy huddles. And so I'm really challenging you to think through this. And fourth is to surround your life with friends and family who do not follow Christ as Lord. It kind of relates to the first thing, but just surround yourself. It's so easy to get yourself around people that really don't follow Christ as Lord. I'm talking about, and again, I think you really need to spend time with non-Christians and relate to them. But if that's all your friends are, you're going to really be hurting. And it's going to be easy to become secular, even if you're a Christian. But if you may be putting yourself around a lot of Christians, but they've chosen to be comfortable in life. And sometimes you're not even sure where they're at spiritually. But it's just easy to follow in step with them and do what they do and use them as your example. There's a lot of people in our society today that really don't. They think they're a Christian, but they're really not. It really is true. And I may seem to be kind of hard on this, but the truth is, if Jesus is not your Lord, I question whether you're really a Christian or not. And probably it's not popular to say that. Even if you are choosing some things that aren't what God wants, I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just saying if you just have no desire to walk with God, I question whether you're really a Christian. I question that you really look back at this one day that you may walk down the aisle in an emotional experience or some kind of thing. You made some kind of decision and it really wasn't in your heart. It was something you really desired and it was a real emotional experience. But maybe it wasn't real. But you've always looked back at that time and said, well, I'm a Christian because of this and that and that and this. Or because I've gone to church all my life. Or because of the works I've done. Or because I'm growing up in America even, if you want to get it a little bit more extreme. And so, sometimes I wonder, if you don't have that desire. Holy Spirit will give you desire if He's in your life. And He'll never leave you. And so, it's really easy to become secular in that way. And so I challenge you to think through where you're at and where people are at that you surround yourselves around. And let me just kind of clarify this. I was thinking through. Let me just share where I'm coming from on that way, just in case some of you are having a hard time with that. Is that I think there's two works of the Holy Spirit. I mean, not only two works, but two of the works. One is this saving work, if you want to use that word, where you really, I mean, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're a new creature. You're God's child forever, eternally. But there's also the Holy Spirit's general work. And as I was mentioning a while ago, the Holy Spirit uses opportunities. God really does take the initiative. And He uses times to break your heart towards longing for Him. He uses times to track your mind towards Him, track your emotions towards Him. But it doesn't necessarily mean that just because you desire to walk with God and just because you feel like walking with God, that you've really committed your life to Him. It has to be something that you offer to God, and that is your life. And His common work may be getting to a point to salvation, but you never take that next step. And so I want to share that, not to scare some of you, but boy, it's so often in our country, and even especially in the Bible Belt, you have to help people understand they're lost before you help them know Christ personally. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Another thing is to get people increasingly busy. I face that with people out there in Northern Virginia so much. They're so busy. Busy, 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 busy. And you will be busy, 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 busy if you're not already. I mean, you've already got a lot of studies. Some of you got jobs. You got different responsibilities. You've even got some religious work. And it's going to be very easy to take what's really meeting your needs and drop everything else. So what people are doing is they're becoming so busy, and since they don't think the church is relevant, they don't really care much. Sometimes they don't think Christ is relevant, what little they do know about Him. It's tough to get people's time. But they'll give time to what they really feel is valuable. And, you know, wives are working a lot more in the workplace. There's a lot more stress on families and taking care of children and things like that. It just takes more time. You're working a lot more. It's getting expensive to live in cities. People are moving way out and having to spend hours commuting in and out. And so that takes up more of their time. When they come home, they don't want to go to a Bible study. On Sunday, they want to go to the lake and to the beach. They want to relax or sleep or watch a sporting event. They don't want to be involved in a church activity. And so, you know, that's going to happen. And that's the way to help people become secular, is just get them busy. But like I said, if the church becomes relevant, you know, so often people don't think it's practical, it's relevant, it's not fun, and it doesn't really meet the relational needs that they have. But the local church becomes relevant, becomes practical, shows an interest in people's needs, and is interested in their whole life, not just part of their life, then it becomes very attractive, and people will make choices to be involved with a group of believers that live that way. Another thing is, obviously, it's just enticing with the wonderful world of recreational activities. Lots of fun things to do, music to listen to, things to do outdoors, sports, whatever it is. And that's just something I think it's a great, you know, nothing, I'm not saying it's wrong individually of itself, but it can be used to escape life and what it's really about. And I'm just going to quickly hit these last two since my time's definitely up. Is to discredit Christianity through the media and falling stars. The media is a total mockery of Christianity. And even as a Christian that's growing, it's hard not to be deceived by what you see in the movies and on TV and here on the radio and just being around any kind of media. It's a real mockery of Christianity. And the following TV evangelists feel stereotype and disdain. And the implications are that people really do need to see the relevancy of Christianity in our lives as we go through life, whether it's good or bad or in between. Hopefully they'll see us asking for forgiveness. Use that word, repentant. Being repentant. Turning away from those things that God doesn't desire for us to do and turning towards the things He desires. Being serving. Being loving. People need to see that. It's not happening. Most people that I've talked to don't know their next door neighbor. They don't have time for them and they don't really care. And those people aren't out meeting their needs, and they're not out meeting the other people's needs. But you know what they want, what they keep saying? They want a community to live in that people care for each other. They're not willing to go out and care, but they want someone to care for them. It's a real dichotomy we were living in, but that's something we have to deal with in our society. And eight is to get, well, I explained that when I said, you know, get people thinking that they're Christian when they're really not. In conclusion, what I'd like you to do just with some of this to throw at you is just to get you to think. What are you investing your life in now? And you've heard this over and over. But it's really true that it's so important that we take advantage of the opportunity. And whatever God's doing in your life, whatever opportunities He's given you, really think through and take the advantage of it. I'm not just plugging this ministry. And there's a lot of things God can do to help you grow and to develop some stability and some foundation in your life spiritually. And it will get tougher. It's not going to get better. Life is tough. It really is. Some of you can find comfort in the holy huddles. But if you're going to be a part of God's kingdom work in this world, you're going to find it's tough. And so I ask you to think through what you're doing now, not just your performance, but where your heart is, and take advantage of it. The real key is to grow inside, to develop the inner life, and not become performance-oriented or performance-based, because that'll disappear quickly after you leave here. It really will. And, you know, it's really true. It's so important that in our inner lives, we really do have that motivation to serve God, to love Him, to glorify Him. And you know, it pleases God, but it's also a great way to live. It really is a great way to live. People are out there trying to find pleasure. But you know, the ultimate pleasure really is in God. Whether it's hard to believe that sometimes or not, whether we feel it or not, ultimate pleasure really is in following God. And I know sometimes I don't think that, and I don't live it. But it's true, regardless of what I think. And so, you know, I just want to share last is that freshmen, some of you are really struggling right now. Some of you are about ready to farm out. Some of you are really growing leaps and bounds. I just challenge all of you, think through some of the things I've shared. And some of the things that I've been learning, if you remember any of them that I shared. Pray that God, you know, pray that God would just take you in an area of your life and really develop that in your life. And then trust Him for it. Lean on His strength. And be patient. And be obedient. And there's a lot of things of doing and being I'm saying here, but it comes with a heart change. And it really is exciting. You know, Paul prayed for the Philippians. He really desired that they grow, you know, they grow in their love, and as they develop in their love, that they grow in their knowledge and their depth of insight, so that they may be able to discern what is best in life, and that they may become pure and blameless in His sight. Doesn't mean that you're always perfect, that you're always doing the right things, that you have to earn brownie points with God by what you do to please Him. To always be looking over your shoulder to when He's going to zap you. But it's so important that we use our love and we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, in our love towards Him, in our insight in what He desires in our life, and in our insight in who He is. And He really helps us discern what is best as we come to know Him and grow to love Him. And because of Jesus' blood, because of forgiveness and God's grace, we really do become pure and blameless in His sight. We really do. It's the truth. And it's a prayer I have for you all. And, you know, if you want to read that verse sometime, it's in Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Let me just pray for y'all right now. I don't want to share any more. But I just challenge y'all to think through some things. I hope, I didn't want to come up here, I prayed today, I didn't come up here for you to look at me. I really want you to see how God can honor His promises and how God really is our strength. And all of you probably know that, but to live it is a different thing. There's a lot of things out there confusing you, or trying to confuse you. And there's a lot of hurts some people have. And it's really hard for them to believe that God really loves them. And so I just ask you to lean on God and to look to Him for direction and then to follow Him in obedience. And that's a tough word in our society today. Now let me pray for y'all. Well, I pray right now. I just thank you for this time. It's a real honor to be here. It's an emotional experience. And, Lord, I really do desire to leave here, not to talk about who I am or what I'm doing so much as to know that you really are the ultimate source of all pleasure. And Lord, that you really are the one that can meet our needs. And Lord, that life in its reality right now is not easy, but by leaning on you, there can be a real peace and joy, even in tough times. And Lord, I pray also that you help different folks here really develop a vision for their lives to be real ministers for you, for the gospel, for your good news. Have a real vision towards serving you and be a part of the work that you're doing in the world. And Lord, if those choices sometimes are hard, that they'll make them. And that they continue to walk with you. Even when they fall down, fall flat on their face, fail in your, at least seemingly fail in your eyes, Lord, help them to know that you have much grace to give them and that you'll pick them back up, brush them off, and help them on their way. Lord, you've done that so much with me. I fall on my face constantly, and you know that. And I pray that we can continue to know the source of true life and that we can help people out there that don't know you and really have a heart for them to help them know who you are. And not to push them, not to drive them, but to lead them towards you. I pray, Lord, for that. For these folks, for myself. I pray this in your name and thank you for your love. Amen.